How many different civilizations did you look at? Obviously, the Egyptians were one. What other ones?
Egypt, Mesopotamia, which would, of course, include both the Sumerians and the Akkadians and the Babylonians. There are some things you'll find in Persian text with Zoroastrianism, a little bit in Hittite, Hebrew Bible was a big one, Jewish text in between the Old and the New Testament, and the New Testament itself as well.
And did you find similarities, Michael, between all of these different civilizations? I mean, were there things that kept popping up that if you were connecting dots, you'd see some very, very close similarities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an overlapping of terms. For instance, you have the underworld, the netherworld, so to speak, the realm of the dead in all of them. In other words, is it just a general place where all the dead go? When you get down to descriptions of that place, there's a lot of commonality. It's a place that's under the earth in all these civilizations. It's a place that's actually, curiously enough, it's not a fiery place. It's a watery place. The old biblical phrase, the waters below the earth. A lot of people don't think of this, but in the commandments, the Ten Commandments, you were specifically told in one of the commandments to not make any graven image. And it says of anything in the heavens or on earth or below the earth. So you have this tripartite sense of you know, where beings, heavenly beings, reside. So that's very common. You also have windows in some of these places. You have bars either supporting the earth above. You have to realize that in ancient cosmology, and the Bible is no different than others, the earth was viewed as flat but round, sort of disc-shaped, and that was encased by a dome, a solid dome. This was believed all the way up into the Renaissance. Again, the biblical accounts are no exception here. But you had this dome, and then underneath you had this realm, okay, the waters below. It's like the entire thing was surrounded by water. You had waters above, you had the dome, you had the earth and the atmosphere, of course, above, and then below this you had Sheol, or the abyss, or the netherworld in Mesopotamian thinking. Gehenna, Hades, all these terms are interchangeable. They all contain basically the same descriptions. But again, the later you go, you start to get the fire element in it, specifically that you're there not just to wait until the time of the end when you get your judgment, but you're actually being tormented while you're waiting. Okay, that's sort of a later development. You have seeds of that in the Old Testament, but it really takes off in the intertestamental period. In the New Testament, of course, Jesus spent a lot of time actually preaching on what we would think of as hell. So there's a lot of it there. You also have, again, this sense of compartmentalization and whatnot. So you have sameness, but you also have development in certain ideas as well.
With respect to ghosts and spirits, do you think the ancients knew more or less than what we know?
That's a good question. I would say their worldview dictated that they were open to more. I hate to use the word experimentation, but I will, because there's a lot of that goes on in all these texts. But by virtue of that, either, again, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but by virtue of that, there would have been probably, again, if you want to look at it this way, there would have been probably more experiential knowledge of that. There was certainly more of a predisposition that these things were real in the ancient worldview. We've sort of been deadened to that in our modern worldview, our modern rationalistic scientific approach.
Where did they learn this? I mean, we're talking about, you know, people 4,000 years ago. Where did they learn this?
I think some of it was the product of their imagination. And I'm not trying to be negative when I say that, because everybody wonders what happens when you die. And so naturally, you ruminate about this, you speculate about this, because you yourself can't necessarily go and then come back, I'll write that down now. So there was some speculation, but I also think that there was some experiential knowledge as well, because, just like most of the Coast audience, I mean, I I'm not a materialist. I believe that there's a spiritual realm. The problem you get into when you get into this topic is that I can sit here and tell you textually that there were disembodied spirits, and then there were spiritual entities that were mm-hmm. nasty. And I can parse all the categories. But the problem is when you, as an individual, and this is part of the reason why the Old Testament said don't do this, when you may establish contact, again, the Bible's clear, it works. You don't know what you're getting.
Right. You open up that portal,
right.
and God knows what's going to come through.
Right. You don't know what you're getting. And so I think they did this. I think they were contacted by entities. They could have been ghosts. They could have been angelic beings. I mean, in the New Testament, there are certain passages that sort of parallel the idea of a person's spirit and a person's angel, the old guardian angel idea. Sort of that the person could die and then perhaps come back in an angelic form, or they might just be using the word angel there generically, like a messenger. The person's spirit can come back. It might be something positive. It might be something negative, and human, or it could be something much, much worse. And so the biblical prohibition, I think, is a protective one. It's not this anti-knowledge kind of thing that, oh, God says, I don't want you to do that because I don't want you to learn anything. I think it's God doesn't want you to do that because you don't know what you're going to get. And if you get something bad, quite frankly, you're not fit to handle it. So you take a risk. And I think that there was a lot of that. That's where they gained, some of this knowledge by experience, unfortunate or fortunate for them. But it was something that, boy, you really need to be careful, and even outside of biblical stuff. This is only something the priests did, only somebody who was trained. And
oh, okay.
Even in those civilizations, it's not something that was taken lightly. Of course, they had a different religious view of it, of what was going on. But even then, it's not something that, when you're bored someday, why don't you just do this? You had to be trained. You had to be schooled.